Brett. Let's welcome Brett up. If you don't know Brett, Brett is sort of the overseeing senior pastor over the Kingsway churches. And from what I understand, he comes to Sea Change every now and again. And we thought, depending on how I'd pull up after the Sutherland to Surf, it'd be good to have a guest speaker. So Brett's here today. I'm here. Yeah, so wonderful.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, Grant. It's great to be here. It's not a coincidence, Grace, that you spoke today at all. My whole message is about grace. God is good. Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I know there's obviously a few who are recovering from walking or running this morning. But yeah, well done for those who have achieved that and still turned up. I'm impressed. Good job. So yeah, the last couple of weeks, Grant's been leading you through some conversations around spiritual gifts. And it's something that I think is really critically important to the church. And how's you enjoying it? Yep, getting some stuff, getting some challenges. Yeah, it's good. So you've looked at a couple of passages in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, looking at, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, motivational gifts, gifts for the church, ministry gifts, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet. And apparently you prayed over all the evangelists last week, I heard. Yeah, it's good. Excellent. You know, how has God gifted, you know, his church? And I guess the importance of recognizing our gifts. And I like the idea of having a session next week, you know, outside of a message to sort of unpack that a little bit further for those who are curious about their spiritual gifts, what my gifts might be. And, you know, then, you know, the challenging part is putting that gift into practice. And it, you know, start small. So today I really just felt, as I read through the passage that we'll read through in a minute in Peter, was to really talk about what I believe, you know, is the framework, if you like, in which all these gifts work and operate. And it's the framework of grace. And so, you know, I think because discovering your gifts is not the finish line, it's the starting point. And so I want to talk a little bit about that with you today and just share a couple of things out of this passage. I'm about to head off to Cambodia on Tuesday to spend 8 days with our church over there. Looking forward to hanging out with our Kingsway Cambodia campus. Haven't been there for a while, so I'm excited to be with them next week. And some of you may be aware that we're the two senior pastors and the youth pastor from our campus there are coming to Australia in September. So you'll have opportunity to meet them. One of them will come here and speak on the Sunday, which will be great. Really excited to have them part of our community here in Sydney. We've tried to get them here a few times but had them knocked back, their visas knocked back by the government. So it's nice that the government finally ticked the box and let them in. They must have been able to convince them that they're going to go home. So the reason the Australian government told us that they're not going to give their visas because they're not guaranteed that they're going to go back to Cambodia after they've been in Australia. They'd love it so much, which is partly true, I guess, but they're leaving their four kids at home. So I guess maybe that was a reason for them to go. I know I started sort of organising some stuff this week and I was, because it's quite hot over there at the moment. Well, quite hot. It's very hot. It's hot and wet time of year in Cambodia. So, you know, apart from when I'm speaking, it's like shorts and T-shirts kind of weather. And I was going through some of my stuff. And in one of the pockets of one of my pairs of shorts, which I obviously haven't worn for a while, I pulled out some Khmer money. It's like 10,000, right? Sounds like a lot, but it's not really. And I was like, oh, wow, what a bonus. Like, when I get there, I'll have some little bit of cash to spend on some stuff. And I was sort of, you know when you find like a 20 in your pocket and you're like, where the heck? Yes. Like, particularly at the moment, like, because we don't have cash very often. So it's kind of like, woohoo. Like, you almost feel rich when you find a 20 or a 10 in your pocket. I do enjoy that, that feeling of, it's kind of like, woohoo, what a bonus. Anyway, about, I was sort of doing some stuff and then I had this really random thought that last time I was in Cambodia, someone in the church came up to me after the church, gave me that money and said, oh, I just want to give you this for you to give it to someone that needs it. I remember thinking, what the? It's still in my pocket 7 months later. I missed that opportunity. So I kind of like went from feeling really excited to feeling a little bit disappointed in myself. You know, I'd kind of, so yeah, I must remember to take that with me when I go back next week to sort of pass that on to the right person. But I didn't kind of feel like I had this kind of excited little bonus in my pocket anymore. I felt like it was something that was entrusted to me that I'd kind of forgotten about and just let go. And that was a bit of a negative feeling. Anyway, let's dive into 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And I'm just going to read this out. I think it's on the screen as well. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's the hard part, right? The hospitality can be easy. It's the grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word, that we would be encouraged and that we would also be challenged. Not by my words, but the words of truth and the words of your spirit. In Jesus' name. There's a phrase in that text that really stood out to me. It's kind of had my attention all week. And it's the little sentence there. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Stewards. That for me was a word that kind of jumped off the page. Peter doesn't say owners. He says stewards. And I think that's probably for me one of the richest words in this whole passage. In the Passion Translation, it says, every believer has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. So a couple of things. The first thing for me is this. Everything begins with grace. As each has received a gift, we have received. And to me, that's really important. Peter doesn't say you've earned it. He doesn't say you've developed it or chosen it. You know, the word tells us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but we receive what God knows we need and what he needs for his church. We have received. Everything starts with grace. Your salvation, grace. Your faith, grace. Your opportunities, grace. Your gifts, grace. You know, no one unwraps a present and then congratulates themselves. Look at me. You thank the giver. Everything we have has been given to us. We have received. That's why comparison makes little sense. But we get stuck in that comparison trap. You know, they say that comparison is the thief of all joy. But when we understand that I have been given, I am receiving a gift from God, comparison doesn't make any sense. I receive it with gratitude and I celebrate yours. You know, Peter says at the start, the end of all things is at hand. And it kind of sounds a bit dramatic in some ways. But I think what Peter is trying to get across here, he's trying to give us a little bit of perspective. You know, life is precious. Life is short. Don't waste it. Some of you would know, many of you may not, but just recently I started a new role within our movement or network of churches, Churches of Christ, sort of leading our chaplaincy ministry. And those of you who know Bruce Tyndale, it was a role that he did for a number of years, and I've sort of stepped into that role. I was a police chaplain for 9 years, so I've had a little bit of experience in the chaplaincy space. But yeah, really kind of exploring this new season for me in this role. But it has helped me get some interesting perspective. The last 8 weeks in this role, my just being out and meeting all of our chaplains, we have about 16 employed chaplains through Churches of Christ in different spaces, in aged care, in retirement living, in prisons, in hospitals, in schools, and then we have a bunch of affiliated chaplains working in places like ambulance service, like Bruce does, police, and a bunch of other spaces. So I've spent time in prison in the last couple of weeks. Twice, in fact, I've been inside maximum security, and I got to tell you, that is an eye-opener. And the work that our chaplains do in that space is, yeah, unbelievable. I struggled with it a lot at a bunch of different levels. But one of the things that I've noticed in the space of chaplaincy, and I kind of refer to it as hope in the middle, you know, that our chaplains come along and walk alongside people in the middle of stuff, in the middle of incarceration, in the middle of trauma, in the middle of loss, in the middle of grief, in the middle of uncertainty, in the middle of life, and bring hope and grace. God positions them in spaces to be present and to bring what it is that they carry. You know, I've sat with families in grief over the last few weeks, and I've never heard anyone say this to me: I wish I'd made more money. I wish I'd worked longer hours. I wish I'd accumulated more. I haven't heard that. I've heard people talk about relationships, people, love, regrets, purpose, the difference they've made or the difference they wish they'd made. Peter says life is precious. Don't waste it. Don't put aside what God has placed in your hand. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. The second thing I would say is this: you have been entrusted with grace. There you go. Everything begins with grace, and then you have been entrusted with grace. This is kind of the part of the passage where Peter kind of slows things down a little bit. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Notice he doesn't say stewards of your gifts. He says stewards of God's grace. To me, it kind of changed the way I saw this passage. And in a sense, made me think that maybe the gift isn't actually the main point. Maybe the spiritual gift is the way God's grace reaches another person. When someone encourages you through the gift of encouragement, you experience God's grace. When someone shows mercy, you experience God's grace. When someone teaches God's word, you experience God's grace. When someone leads or quietly serves or makes your lunch, you experience God's grace. The gift of the Spirit is the channel to the incredible grace of God. And that's what we carry. The grace of God. How powerful is that? It's not just the gift that we get to use, it's what the gift brings to another person. An encounter with the grace of God. So when you bring your encouragement, Anthony, because you have the gift of encouragement, definitely have the spiritual gift of encouragement, and you've encouraged me so many times over my, however long we've known each other, 20-something years, probably, I don't know, it could be more. Every time you bring a word of encouragement to me, you bring God's grace into my life. Oh. Whether it's hospitality, service, the smallest things, you carry the grace of God in your gifting to others. It's what is flowing through the gift is the grace of God. The Greek word that Peter uses for varied is quite a beautiful word. It literally means many-coloured, multifaceted. It's kind of like holding up a diamond. The light is the same, but depending on how you look at it and where you're sitting, the colour is different. The angle reflects it differently, and that's the church. The grace of God is one. It is God's grace, but it shines differently through every person. It's like that kaleidoscope of colours. Some reflect compassion, others leadership, some generosity, some hospitality, teaching, mercy, encouragement, prophecy. None of us reflect the whole diamond. That's why we need each other. One of the things I've noticed after years of coaching leaders is that people almost always underestimate their greatest strengths because they come naturally. It's easy to underestimate or downplay your gift of encouragement because it's just who you are. Oh, but doesn't everyone do that? Not like you. I'm not picking on you or anything. Because the encourager can think, doesn't everybody encourage people? Maybe, but not like that. Because that's the gift. And it's easy sometimes, the things that we do naturally well, that God is, you know, you look at, what is my spiritual gift? We're looking for this kind of like, well, what could it be, you know? Do the test, do the exam, tick a few boxes and discover, woohoo, there's my gift. Go find out that that's actually the thing you've been doing all your life. You just haven't said this is a spiritual gift that God has entrusted to me, God's grace, and we downplay it a little bit. Doesn't everyone notice what needs doing? Not always. Doesn't everyone feel what I feel when I connect with people? That merciful empathy? No, they don't. I know I don't. That's why Peter says you received it and it's grace all along. The final thing I want to say is this. Grace is meant to flow. Yeah. You know, he finishes this passage by talking about speaking, serving, whatever you do, do it with the strength God supplies, not your strength, his strength, because the goal was never that people notice us or even notice our gift. The goal is that people encounter him. Sometimes people ask me, you know, what is it that a chaplain does? And honestly, sometimes not much. They turn up and be present. It's not visible. It's ministry of, we call it the ministry of presence. Showing up, listening, sitting, praying, being present. I've also discovered that people often don't remember every word you've said. You know, I've preached over 1,000 times. Probably 1,500 now. I remember doing the sums a little while ago. That's a lot of sermons. Pretty sure most people haven't remembered much of what I've said. Little bits here, little bits there. But they remember someone who carried hope into the room, who brought grace into their life. Someone reminded them that they weren't alone. That's grace. And that's exactly what Peter is talking about. Remember this? Someone handed me that and said, would you mind passing this on to someone who needs it? And what did I do? I put it in my pocket and I forgot. Who missed out? Not me. Grace has to flow. God has entrusted each one of us with his grace gifts. Not so that we can admire it, compare it, hide it, but so someone else might experience him through it. That's the gift of grace. So maybe the next question is, you know, after we go, what's my spiritual gift? Maybe the next question is, who's waiting on the other side of my faithfulness for it? Who's waiting for your encouragement, your compassion, your generosity, your hospitality, your listening ear, your prayer, your prophecy, the gospel to be shared? Because someone is. Peter finishes with these beautiful words, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the destination. Grace flows from God through ordinary people into someone else's story and ultimately back to God's glory. So don't only ask what gifts have I received, ask how can God's grace flow through me this week? Because you haven't simply been given a gift, and that is great in and of itself. But you have been entrusted with God's grace. And there is someone maybe that you'll meet this week or today or tomorrow, who is waiting for you to faithfully pass it on. Let us pray. Just thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you that you have gifted us, your church, with incredible spiritual gifts that are beyond us as humans, to lead, to serve, to encourage, to prophesy, to pastor, to teach. And they are a gift of grace that you give to us so that the grace of God can flow through to others. May we open our hearts to be channels of your grace and your gifts. Because we know that the gifts of the Spirit are good for the body. We know that they're good for those people. We utilize and use those gifts for and with and alongside. So give us courage. Because I know courage is key. Grace had courage to share this morning. It takes courage to step out of the comfort of safety and familiarity and let the grace gifts of God flow through you into the lives of others. And I pray that we would have courage, not fear, not comparison, not what people might think or say, but the courage to be the grace carriers in our community and beyond. Courtney, as you were leading worship this morning, God gave me a picture. So I'm trying to be courageous. God gave me a picture of a flower. Not really sure what kind of flower it was. And it was beginning to really blossom. And I feel that is representative of what God is doing in you at the moment through worship and your heart for Him and the things that I hear. But then there were times when the flower tried to pull itself back to kind of stop blossoming. So like, no, don't want to do that. Maybe that's going to cost me, or it's going to, you know. But I just really felt God just encouraging you, just let it go. Just let it go, because He's got you. Yeah. So yeah, bless you.